You have your Bibles this morning, please find John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. I want to read a verse or two from the end of the book of John. We're preaching on the subject that you might believe. I want to say something before I even read the text this morning. There was a line in the song that they were singing a while ago, and it talked about coming to a place of desperation. And I believe with all of my heart that before people come to the Lord, they come to a place where they realize He is their only hope. And I'm thankful this morning that the Holy Spirit can bring us into that place. If He didn't do it, none of us would have ever gotten saved. I praise Him for that. The Bible said in John chapter 21, verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. I hope we never get over that verse of Scripture. We have a Bible that is so full, and yet, if everything was written that Jesus did, the whole world couldn't contain the books that should be written. Then the Bible said in chapter 20 and verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. I believe the emphasis in the message today you're going to find is going to be on the first part of that believing, the believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, or that salvation experience, that time when a person comes to the end of themselves. Brother Brian worded it like this: when you take sides with God against yourself. In other words, when you come to a place when you say, God, You're right and I'm wrong. Nobody wants to admit they're wrong. But I tell you this, if you ever get saved, you'll admit you're wrong. Matter of fact, you'll admit you're very wrong and that He is very right. Amen. The Bible said in John chapter number 8 and verse number 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I want to say this morning. I'll say it kindly and reverently, but there's a whole lot of people that say they know Jesus that walk in darkness week after week after week after week. This Bible teaches clearly and plainly, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. There's a change takes place. It's called the new birth, being born again. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I want to talk about Jesus, the light of the world, for a little while this morning. And it may be a little bit of an unusual manner in which we address it, but I'm going to stay in the chapter. And I want you to look at some things that the light helps us to see. The light of the world, the Lord Jesus. Whenever you need to get something revealed, we're always hunting a light. Amen. When you're trying to find something, many times a light will help you to find it. As a matter of fact, I even thought about this. Just started in recent days wearing glasses. And one of the reasons that we end up wearing glasses as we get older, we get what the Bible calls dimmer in our eyes. And how many Can you remember when you could read fine out in the sunlight without your readers, but you come inside and man, it was just a big blur? How many knows what I'm talking about right there? So evidently it was something going on with the light, wasn't it? You take God's light, that natural light from the sun, and it would help us to see clearly. I believe God wants us to see clearly some things in this passage of Scripture. Would you pray with me and pray for me? Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you are the light of the world. Lord, that we have the privilege in these days to follow you. We don't have to walk in darkness, but Lord, we can have the light of life. And Father, I pray this morning that you would just help us this morning to see truth exposed by the light that you shine on it today. And God will give you glory. I pray, Lord, for that one that, Lord, has reached that place of desperation in their life. That place, Lord, where they need some relief. That place, our Father, where they're tired of sin, tired of guilt, tired of shame. Lord, I pray that that individual would come this day to know my Savior, to know my Lord, to know the God of this book, to whom to know his life eternal. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. I'll give you some things this morning and get right into the message. What is it that the light of the world, the Lord Jesus, wants us to see in this chapter? I believe the first thing that God wants us to see, and the devil is trying to hide from so many people in the world, is forgiveness. I spent the entire message on Wednesday night preaching about this woman taken in adultery. But because of the light of the world, this woman experienced God's forgiveness. I'm not going to go back and re-preach all of that, but there's a bunch of men that caught this woman in the act. If they caught her in the act, there had to be a man there, but they didn't bother to bring the man. In my mind and in my heart, I think it might have been a setup. They bring this woman, they're trying to trap Jesus, they're trying to trick him. They throw her in the middle in the temple, and they say, Moses in the law commands we stone her. What sayest thou? Jesus took his finger, and he began to write. And then the Bible said he paused from that, and then he went and stooped down and he wrote again. I will not be dogmatic about this, but it thrilled my heart to think about something. They wanted to throw Moses and the law at Jesus. And the Word of God said that on those tablets of stone, that the finger of God wrote down the law. I believe the finger of God was writing that day when Jesus stooped down. Could be that our Lord wrote down Moses in the law. You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Maybe that's what he wrote when he first went down. They're still talking. But Jesus went down again and he wrote something else. Maybe he wrote this. Maybe he wrote, but whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. I can't be dogmatic about what Jesus wrote, but I can tell you this. The same finger that wrote on those tablets of stone, the same finger that wrote on the wall in the book of Daniel, that meanie, meanie, tickle up, harsh, and thou weighed in the balances and found wanting, that same finger was writing that day, amen. And beloved, the accusers, beginning at the eldest, they went out. This was a dark day for this woman. She's thrown in the midst. She's guilty of adultery. And it was a dark day. But I tell you what happened that changed that day. The light of the world showed up. And the Lord Jesus offered her forgiveness. He said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man. Somebody tell me the next word. Lord. That's what made all the difference in the world. Beloved, in this day, when somebody acknowledged him as Lord, what they were doing was agreeing with him. You are the Son of God. You're more than just a good man. You're more than just a prophet. You are the Son of God, just like the Bible teaches. Just like he had been proclaiming, making himself equal with God. In other words, there's forgiveness because the light of the world showed up and shined on this situation. If you look with me at verse number 31, not just this woman, but according to verse number 31 in the text, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Watch this now. Excuse me, I need to read verse 30 as well. And as he spake these words, the word of God said, many believed on him. You know what I believe? I believe that if you read the chapter, there were many that gathered in the temple that day to hear him teach. And when they saw that this woman, taken in this act, could be forgiven for what she, I believe hope raised up inside of them. And they said, praise God, maybe I can get in on that. Amen. And I can experience the forgiveness that only a holy God can offer. I see Jesus, the light of the world, and when it helps us to see his forgiveness in the chapter, but it also helps us to see his followers. Look in verse number 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'm encouraged by this. It's 2019. It's kind of a modern day and a modern age. But there are still some people in this world that love old-time religion, that believe that God hears and answers prayer, that believe the Word of God is our lifeline, amen, and that we absolutely must have the Word of God, still believe the gospel needs to be sent into all the world, that God wants everybody to be saved. Oh, beloved friend, there's some followers. It encourages me. The Bible said in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You say, preacher, what are you so excited about? The Bible said the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. Here's what I'm excited about. I'm not the only one in the path. God's got a remnant of people. Even in this modern day that we live in, when they're saying things like it's all right for a man to marry a man, a woman to marry a woman, when they're saying it's all right, pull the baby part of the way out and kill it, it's all wrong, but there's still some people walking in the path of righteousness. They say it's all right. Oh, yeah, sell the liquor. Just make sure we get the revenue, the taxes. It's all right. Sell the lottery tickets. I'm telling you, beloved, there's still some people in the right path. There's still some people that says, oh, devil, go the way you want to go. Oh, world, go the way you want to go. But I'm going with God. That encourages me. The light of the world is Jesus. There's still some people walking in a well-lit path. Years ago, I didn't have a four-wheeler. How many knows what a four-wheeler is? I got lazy. I no longer have to walk to the top of the mountain. I get on a four-wheeler and ride to the top of the mountain. My boy made fun of me, Brother Thurman, years ago. I bought one that had power steering. He said, Dad, first you got too lazy to walk to the top of the mountain. He said, then you got too lazy to steer the four-wheeler. Say, preacher, why'd you get that one? I got a great deal in it, amen. It became available, and I relieved the gentleman of it, amen. Let me tell you something. I learned this. Years ago, I didn't have a four-wheeler, and years ago, I walked a long way. I've been known to walk as long as an hour and a half to 2 hours before daylight getting where I was going. And I learned, don't just take one flashlight. Say amen. I learned this too, Brother Steve. Don't just take one flashlight and an extra set of batteries. Have you ever tried to put a set of batteries in a flashlight when you can't see your hand in front of your face? I also learned this too. There's something that causes a flashlight to operate besides batteries. It's called a bulb. And I also learned this. It's wise to have a backup in your pocket. Can I tell y'all something this morning? I'm walking in a path that Jesus has lit, and I don't need a backup. The Bible said as I get closer to home, he lights this path more and more unto the perfect day. I don't need a backup. Think about when we get to the city, we're not going to need a backup. Amen. Don't need the sun, don't need the moon. For the Son of God is the light of that city. What a blessing that's going to be. Jesus, the light of the world, he helps us to see forgiveness. He helps us to see his followers. I read this and I thought it was interesting talking about following Jesus. Someone said, your new religion has spoiled you, Mary. You will never shine in the good society now, said a worldly lady to her niece, who had been brought to decision for Christ a few months before, and who was manifesting the new life in a walk becoming of the gospel of Jesus. I am seeking grace to shine as a light for God in the midst of a dark and evil world, Auntie, and I'll get into good society very soon. The society of saints and angels. In my Father's house on high, was the answer she gave. Yes, Christ spoils those who receive him as Savior and Lord. For this world's society, there was no room in society for Christ, nor will there be for his followers. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that God still has a remnant of people that are dedicated to following him. I see Jesus, not only does he reveal forgiveness, and not only does he reveal his followers, but he reveals his Father. Look in verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Did you know, beloved, listen, I love this old saying. It's not in the Bible, but it's an old saying. It's better to keep your mouth shut and let everybody think you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. These people, these Pharisees, when they said, thou bearest record of thyself, and your record is not true, they removed all doubt about how foolish they were. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. Let me ask you something this morning. Do you know where you came from and where you're going? You better know. He said, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man. He said, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father. But I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. If you look at verse number 28 and verse number 29, look what the Bible said. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things which please him. Jesus, if you look at this, beloved, he doesn't even want all the credit and all the glory for himself. He wants his life to be a revelation of the Father that sent him, of the God of heaven. Notice verse 54 and verse 55. The Bible said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him. and keep his saying. Did you know, beloved, listen, that one of the reasons that God left you and I that are saved here on the earth is to reveal our Father, to reveal his love. Sister Theresa, as you sat at the piano and sang, that's what Calvary says. I love you. I love you. I love you. Written in red. Thank God for the love of the Father. There's the Father of lights that's revealed in this chapter. The Bible said every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. But there's another Father revealed in this text. It's the Father of darkness. Watch what the Word of God said in verse number 41. You do the deeds of your father. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. I'll say this morning. A person will get saved when they get tired of their old daddy. That old daddy that lies to him. I'm talking about the devil. He told all kinds of people last night that what they needed could be found in the pills, and what they needed could be found in the needle, and what they needed could be found in a bottle, and what they needed could be found in a bed somewhere. But what they need can only be found in the Lamb of God, God's only begotten Son. He lied to him. And he'll lie to him again today. And he'll lie to him again tomorrow. A person will get saved when they get tired. The old devil and his lies. His deceit. I used to preach a lot in prison. I loved preaching in prison. You say, preacher, what are they like? They're just like everybody else. Major difference between them and most of us is they got caught. Help me this morning. It'd be a good time to humble yourself and say amen right there. If you've ever driven under the influence one time, you could be spending the rest of your life in jail. If you've ever got so mad, just hauled off and hit somebody one time, could be spending the rest of your life in jail. I used to tell the men, I'm listening. I listen to them talk. Every once in a while, you'd run into a man. He'd say something like this, I'm not interested. Preacher man, I'm not interested. When I get out, I'm going to do it again. But I've wised up now. They'll not catch me the next time. I used to tell them something. I'd tell them from the pulpit. I'd say, if that's your attitude, why don't you do yourself a favor and do me a favor? And stop at the first emergency room that you pass when you get out and ask them to run an MRI on your head and see if there's anything at all between your ears. When they get out, they got a target on their back. I said, the only way you're going to escape coming back in here is if when they come looking for you, you have a good alibi, like I was in the house of God Sunday morning when it happened. Or I was already in the bed Saturday night because I needed to be at Sunday school on Sunday morning when it happened. Beloved, the devil lies to them. The devil lies to us. Brother John, you talked this morning in Sunday school about the priorities. He lies to us. Amen. We get help when we get tired, that old father. I've noticed the light of the world. He shines in the chapter and he shows us forgiveness and he shows us his followers. He shows us his father. He also shows us the father of darkness. But I want you to look at the foolishness that he shows us in the chapter. The foolishness. Look at verse 21 with me, please. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I'm from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now I'll just say this. Right here in this text, the scribes and the Pharisees on this day would take great offense to be called fools or acting foolishly. They wouldn't have liked that at all. But talk to them today. Talk to those that, beloved, had the Son of God standing right in front of them and died in their sin without God. And they'll tell you, we were the biggest fools that ever lived. Because we had an opportunity to trust Christ. And we rejected him. We crucified him. While this woman taken in adultery trusted him. And many others believed on him. We stood fast in our religion. And refused a relationship with the Lord of glory. This world is full of people that are never going to break with their religion. I'm telling you this morning, beloved, you can be religious and lost, or you can be sitting on a bar stool and lost, but lost is still lost. Dying in your sin is still dying in your sin. And there's only one way to be forgiven. That's come to Jesus. Trust Jesus. John 3. We love it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. People are perishing. What do you mean, preacher? They're dying in their sin. I think it's one every 6 seconds that leaves this world. Listen, beloved. Many of them are dying in their sin. If you died today, how would you die? There's only two ways to die. That's either die in my sin or die in my Savior. I can die in my sin or I can die in my Savior. Thank God for that day when he came to me. And I got tired of sin. I got tired of living foolishly. My whole life, I had rejected him in my pride. But thank God for the day I received him. The Bible said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. You want to see somebody, beloved, that's foolish? That's somebody that loves darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are evil. That's why most of the meanness in the world, how many believes this is right, goes on after dark. Foolishness. Jesus, the light of the world, is shining the light on their foolishness. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. There are a lot of things we're going to find out when we get to heaven. But I'm of the opinion, just knowing how good it is to be forgiven, that where Jesus showed up, Brother Sam, that woman that was taken in adultery showed up a whole lot of times. I believe Brother Adams, she was had this, tell me more. Man, I'm just getting started. I've been forgiven, but tell me more. I want to learn more. Like the song, Brother Ralph, tell me more about my Jesus. Tell me more about my real home. Tell me more. Jesus, the light of the world, when he shines the light in the chapter, he shows us his forgiveness. He shows us his followers. He shows us his Father. He shows us the foolishness of mankind. But he shows us a freedom that can be had only by coming to him. The Bible said in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth will do what? It'll make you free. Free from the guilt, free from the shame, free from sin's dominion, free to serve the Lord. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that when the Lord shines the light in the chapter, he wants us to see that we no longer have to be chained by sin, but he came to set us free. Years ago, how many of you all have ever seen the painting where Jesus is knocking at a door? How many's ever seen that painting? They say the title of it is The Light of the World. Holman Hunt is the one who painted the picture, the portrait. It portrays the Lord Jesus, thorn-crowned and carrying a lantern in his left hand, knocking at a closed door. It is said that the artist, after completing the picture, showed it to some of his friends who praised the merit of the painting. One of them pointed out what he considered an omission on the part of the artist. He said, you have put no handle on the door. I challenge you to pay attention to that. You see the hinges, but you don't see the handle. Holman Hunt replied immediately, you forget, the handle is on the inside. Now, if you believe in irresistible grace, you don't believe that. We believe this Bible teaches that Jesus knocks. But never will he turn the handle, never will he open the door and come in uninvited. A person has to come to a place where they say, Lord, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of you being on the outside. I want you on the inside. When we come to that place and open that door, say, come in, Lord. You've been standing out there long enough. I want you to be a part of my life. Look at verse 46 quickly. Jesus said, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? The Old Testament asked the question, why will you die? Why would people die in their sin? Why would you not believe me? I want to call your attention to something that the Spirit of God called my attention to. Look at verse number 2 in the chapter. And early in the morning, he came. Look at the word again. Early in the morning, he came again. Look at verse number 8. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Look at verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them. Look with me, if you will, please, at verse number 21. Then said Jesus again unto them. This is what God put in my heart. There's somebody here today. You can mark this down. God has spoke again and again and again and again. I'm asking you, I'm begging you, don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. Because if you do, you may end up like these that Jesus said. He said it three times. Brother Rose, I believe he wanted us to be concerned about dying in our sin. Three times. He only had to say it once. But three times he said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sin. The saddest thing I can think of is for a person to die in their sin. Lady, I had the privilege to pastor for several years, her and her husband and their daughter and her mom and her dad. On the way to Kingsport, Wednesday morning, in a moment of time, a tractor and trailer turned in front of them. The man's broke all to pieces laying up here in ICU. I saw him Friday evening. The woman didn't make it to the hospital. They intended that day to leave home and come back home down the other side of the down the other side of 11W. He said, preacher, don't try to scare me. Honey, I ain't trying to scare anybody, but I'm telling you this. Jesus is coming in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I'm also telling you this. I have every intention of being back here at 6 o'clock for the service this evening. But there is no way that I can guarantee you that I'll be back. Two things could happen. I could leave this world, or he could come, and I go on the big load, go out of this world to be with Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. He's lit up his forgiveness. He's lit up his followers. His Father, he shined the light on the foolishness going on in the chapter, and he shined the light on our freedom. He wants us to be free indeed. I believe that there are many times, listen to me carefully and I'm done, that people in this world, they trade the bondage of sin for the bondage of religion. Some would not understand what I just now said. These Pharisees and these scribes, they had both. They had the bondage of sin and they had the bondage of religion. Jesus didn't come to put us in bondage. He came to make us free. Not free to do our own will, but free to do his will. Not free to serve ourselves, but free to serve our Savior. Amen. Let's bow for prayer.